Conservative MP, former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt, now chairs the Health Select Committee and was one of those questioning Helen Whateley. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And that news will have been very arresting to many people who have not been able to go into care homes to see their loved ones, when actually the evidence seems to suggest that doesn't make a difference.
Yes, I don't think Helen Whateley was quite saying that. I think she was saying it's inconclusive, and the sensible way to resolve that, if you're not sure, would be to designate one loved one as a key worker so they can be tested every week and then they can continue to have visiting rights. Because we heard some pretty sad stories this morning at the Select Committee. We heard a man talking about visiting his mother 250 miles away, but not having been able to touch her since February. And because she's got dementia and doesn't recognize him, that touch is a very important part of their communication. And so if there was a way that we could solve this, we could deal with this problem that loneliness and isolation can, in its own way, be as dangerous as the infection itself.
So do you think a change is needed then, just as far as visitors are concerned in care homes?
Yes, and we have asked Helen Whateley about this. She was asked about it in the House of Commons as well. Could we include, as the testing capacity expands, could we include a designated family member as a nominated person who could then be tested regularly so they could carry on visiting a loved one? Mm-hmm. It's a very, very difficult issue because, of course, you don't want to take risks. You're not just taking risks with your own loved one, you're potentially taking risks with other people's loved ones if you see an infection in a care home.
Given how many deaths there were in care homes, about, I think it's roughly 40% of the deaths overall, if we are going to see a surge in infections, what are the main things that care homes need to consider the next time round?
Well, I think there's short-term and long-term. Short-term, we've got to be better at infection prevention and control. We had a whole range of things, not just the question of visitors, but whether, for example, agency workers should be allowed to work at multiple care homes where they can spread the infection around, people not being tested when they were discharged from hospitals, shortages of PPE. So all those issues have to be addressed, and I think by and large they have been addressed. But there was a bigger message that came out this morning, which was that we've made lots of noises. I've made noises about the importance of the social care sector when I was health secretary. And I think there's genuine feeling in government that we need to do more on social care. But when the pandemic arrived, people sort of reverted to type and the NHS became the priority. And we actually heard very powerful testimony from an NHS consultant, a geriatrician, who said the problem with that message about protect the NHS was that everything else became an afterthought, and that was a mistake, he said.
Are you sympathetic to the government's move away from following the scientists' advice as closely as it has done until now?
Well, one thing I'm very sympathetic towards is the idea that it should be ministers, not scientists, taking these decisions. And I think in some ways, in the start of the crisis, we put scientists under too much pressure. When we said we're following the science, in some ways, you're turning Chris Whitty into the Secretary of State when you do that. And so I think it has to be ministers who decide. When you're making a very finely balanced judgment like this, all I would say is you have to be prepared to change your mind quickly if the evidence shows that you're not getting the infection under control.
Okay, but the evidence now, what does it show you? Would you be in favour of some form of circuit breaker where there's very tight lockdown for not too long?
Well, I'm generally in favour of acting more decisively earlier because I think the evidence from all around the world is that that seems to be the thing that has the biggest effect.
Is that
but
a yes,
I do think, I do think it's also important to say these are very finely balanced judgments. And the reason is, for example, we now know that there has been one indirect death, a death from cancer or from someone not being treated in time for a heart attack or whatever, for every direct COVID death caused by effectively the shutting down of non-COVID services in the NHS. So there are some very difficult indirect effects when you go into a tight lockdown. So, you know, I think if it turns out that we are not doing what we need to do to get this under control, yes, we have to change tack.
How long do you give that judgment then?
Well, I always think that in this pandemic, everything seems to be in sort of two-week cycles. So, you know, the infections go up, and then 2 weeks later, you see admissions to hospitals go up. 2 weeks later, you see ICU admissions go up. And so I think we've got about 2 weeks, no more, to see whether what we announced this week is working.
And just a quick thought. Last time we spoke to you, you said the test and trace system needs to be decentralised. There has been some suggestion of a move to more local efforts. Are you satisfied that that is happening?
Well, I thought David Nabarro spoke very wisely on your programme earlier on that. I do think the localised systems are more effective. I think the stats show that where we've gone local, they're getting over 90%.
Sure, but are we moving there? Are we moving in that direction?
Yes, I'd like to see us go further, but I think it's encouraging that we are devolving responsibility in the highest priority areas.
Jeremy Hunt, thank you very much.